without going into much detail, you all know that I have been ministering for the past year in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Today, we are up to chapter 13. Amen? So, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Amen? Now, this chapter 13 introduces two evil accomplices. The beast that comes out of the sea and the beast that comes out of the earth. Together, the three of them, well, the two and Satan, form what we know as the unholy Trinity, right? We know the Trinity, God Father, God Son, and God Spirit. This unholy Trinity is made up of these two beasts and Satan, and they are totally against God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. It reads as follows. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And on his horns were ten crowns. And on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. All right. Amen. Amen. That's a lot, right? That's a lot in there and a lot of description. Amen. But this, you know, the Greek word for beast means, it gives you the connotation of a wild, dangerous animal, okay? And look at this. You remember that Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John the Apostle. Mm-hmm. When he was on the island of Patmos in exile, right? So this is John trying to give us description, information on what is being revealed to him by Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so John calls him a beast. What has John called Satan in past chapters? Mm-hmm. Is it not the dragon? So John doesn't call him the dragon. He calls him a beast. Amen? So this beast represents someone distinct from Satan. This beast is not Satan because he says like. Amen? Like a dragon. He is a beast called the beast. So he's not Satan. Amen? Amen? So, you know, so the beast is not Satan, but he's clearly identified with him. Amen? Amen. It says he is like him, because if you read back in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it also describes the dragon as having seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns. And isn't this similar or just about the same as the beast? Mm-hmm. So he's not Satan, but he is like him. Amen. He's closely identified with him. So there is an affiliation there. You understand that? Amen. So when you see this description of the beast, does it remind you of anything that we have studied in the past? We studied, let's go back to the book of Daniel. Let's go to the Old Testament and let's go to chapter 7. Amen? Let's go to chapter 7 in Daniel. So when you're there, let me know. No. Let's go to chapter 7, and I'm going to take myself there also. Mm-hmm. Amen. And let's go from a verse, I'm going to just cut it short, but you would find it in chapter 7, verses 2 to 8. Let's go from verse, I want you to read verse 8. Verse 8. If you have verse 8, just read it for me. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8.
I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things.
Amen. And if you, let me go back to verse, don't we love these new Bibles where the verses are not separated but come all together? So when you look for a verse, it's a little trying.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at, it says in 7, in verse 7, it says, and after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Amen. So here you have a description. You have a description of the same beast. So what's amazing to me is in Daniel, way before, hundreds of years before Christ, we have a description of the same beast that is shown to John the Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
So how can anyone say that our scriptures are not from God Most High? Everything in our scriptures is in the Old Testament is eventually fulfilled in the New. We have to see that we serve an awesome God, an all-knowing God. Amen. A God who destines things to happen, allows things to happen. Amen. And will control things as they come along. So here you have the same beast, okay? Closely identified with the dragon, but he is not the dragon, amen? It says, look what it says here. It says that the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The dragon gave the beast. The beast is who? As we study scripture, the beast is the son of perdition, who is called the, yes, Vinny, you're mute, the Antichrist. Amen. Unmute yourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not a sermon, as you all know. This is basically a teaching lesson. So you are more than welcome to participate. That's how we learn, by interaction. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the Antichrist. And his power is given to him not by God, but by Satan.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I could say many other things, but I'm going to wait. Amen. And verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Mm-hmm. Let me say something ahead. I've said it in the past. This beast does not appear until the church is raptured, gone up to heaven. This beast appears during the tribulation.
We're going to be in heaven.
So we're going to be in heaven. We're going to look down and we'll see the beast from heaven.
We're going to be in heaven by then.
We will not be subject to his persecutions.
They
will persecute Christians, those that have come to the Lord during the tribulation. Amen. So this beast, it says one of his heads. This beast, remember that we read that it had seven heads, right? When we read it in verse 1 and 2, mm-hmm. Amen? He has seven heads, 10 horns, and on his head, and on his horns are 10 crowns, right? Eventually, one horn, little horn, will come up, devour 3 horns, so that it'll only be 7 again. Amen? Or 7 and then 1 that's the leader. Amen? I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Pray for me. Amen, amen. So many see, as we see, this Antichrist is mortally wounded during the time of the tribulation. Remember, okay, so he's mortally wounded, and then what happens? It says that his wound was healed. So this Antichrist is not he doesn't look like a beast, even though that's the description given. He is actually a man that is going to come up in the end times. And this man is going to bring peace, the peace that the whole world has not known. This individual, powered by Satan, given authority by Satan, is going to be able to bring worldwide peace. He is going to be mortally wounded. I don't know how. He's going to be mortally wounded, and that wound is going to be miraculously healed. What does mortally wounded mean?
Died.
Died. The wound is going to cause your death. So he's going to die, and he's going to be healed again, and we'll get to that. Amen? And the world is going to marvel. Amen? It says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, let me say something. Seven heads, 7 crowns, a beast, mortally wounded. These heads actually represent kingdoms. Kingdoms. They're not seven, they're kingdoms. This is all symbolic. These are kingdoms that the Antichrist is going to rule over. Amen? He's going to rule over the whole world. Seven kingdoms will agree with him, and then he will take over even those seven kingdoms, and he will become a worldwide ruler. Amen? And so he's wounded, and then he's mortally wounded, so he dies, and then he's restored, and we'll get there. And so the world, remember, the majority of the world right now is lost, right? They're not serving the Lord. They're lost. Amen? The only people that are saved are those that have come to Christ during the tribulation, because they remember. The minister preached this to me. My mom told me this. My dad told me that this was coming. Here it is. They are right. Lord, forgive me. I repent. And they come to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the majority of the world doesn't come to the Lord. Amen? And when they see this wound, and they see that he is physically restored, they begin to worship him. They marvel. What does this remind you of? He's dead, and he comes to life again.
Jesus Christ.
The resurrection. Remember that Satan's goal is to be worshipped like Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
To be worshipped like God. So everything he does is an imitation of what the Lord has done and what God has done. Amen.
Amen.
So this is a mock resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought right back to life by Satan himself. And so many will see this miracle and they will follow him. Let me Let me read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Anybody have it? If you have it, read it. I always need help with the reading.
2 Thessalonians 2,
9 to 12.
The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen. So what this is saying that Satan comes, right? The coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, is by the activity of Satan. Satan is empowering him, and he's bringing forth all false signs and wonders. This is a confirmation of what we just read. Amen. And it tells you, amen, that because the people refuse to believe God, he's going to send them a strong delusion that they might believe the Antichrist. God is not causing them not to believe. They have decided not to believe. So God is allowing them to believe the lie. Amen? The lie that Satan is in control, that the Antichrist is this marvelous being showing signs and wonders. Amen. Let me read to you, let me say this. It's in Matthew 24, verses 23-28. Amen. Don't be misled. Don't be misled. Right? Don't be misled by what you see as reports of resurrections, reincarnations, or someone claiming to be Christ. When Jesus returns, he will reveal himself to all believers. Amen?
Amen.
You know, right there, let me read to you. It's important that we know that deception is coming. It's important that we inform our loved ones that they may not be misled by the deception. Because people see a miracle and they believe it's God. Not everything that you see is of God. Not every prophet is of God. Not every word that you're given is of God. Not every person that stands in a pulpit is of God.
Yes.
You have to be able to discern what is God, so that you are not deceived and you are not misled. And we have to let our children know, because they follow someone that is doing great things and then they deny the truth. They deny the truth that God has given us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew. Amen. Matthew. Verse I just quoted, it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. That's us. We're the elect.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have told you ahead of time. That's why you have to discern by the Holy Spirit what you're being told.
Mm-hmm.
You have to discern by the Holy Spirit who is it? That is one reason, and I'll get personal. For many years now, I do not let anyone lay hands on me and pray for me, because I don't know the history of that person. We don't really know if that person is really born again or if there is deception, even in their own person's life. Amen? Verse 26 says here in Matthew 24. Here's what verse 26 says. So if anyone tells you, there he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Isn't that strange? I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. Amen. Today, how many of us have heard that people have professed to be Christ? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many of us have heard that? Well, remember, the Antichrist wants to hold himself up as God. He wants to hold himself up. That's why I'm giving you this. Don't believe everything you see. Don't believe everything you hear. And let your children know. They cannot believe everyone who claims to be Christ. Let them know. Amen? The Bible says that we're going to see him. We're going to... Everyone is going to see him. The Bible, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. What does that mean? What does that mean? I want to let you know, I had to look that up because that's been on my mind for a while now. What does that mean? So as I researched it, here's what it means. You know the vultures, they come, and then when there's prey, you see them circling. We see them all the time here, you know, Florida, circling, because there's a prey, and it's very evident. So what that actually means is that when Christ comes, it will be so evident that there will be no deception at that time, because everyone will see him. Everyone will know that Christ has come. No deception. Unusual metaphor to use, but that's what it means, that he will, that he, you look, you can't, this is what I wrote, you can't hide a carcass in the open, right, in the wilderness, the presence of vultures circling quickly will give it away. In the same way, there will be obvious evidence that Jesus has returned to make it clear to everyone that he is back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. Amen? Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting anyway. Anyway, so, amen?
Amen.
So they see this miracle. And verse 4 says, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Amen? So they're gonna look at this man. By worshiping him, they are virtually worshiping Satan. They're worshiping the dragon. Remember that. Satan is a spirit. He doesn't have two horns. He doesn't have a tail. He's not red. Amen? This is all from literature, from Dante's Inferno. Literature from years, centuries ago. Satan is a spirit that will inhabit this man, that will give power to this man. So by worshiping, because when you read that, you say, how are they worshiping the dragon? Well, they're worshiping the dragon through the beast. Amen? They're not seeing Satan manifested and worshiping him. They're worshiping him through this beast. Amen?
Yeah.
So what do you think about when they say, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Do you see the glory they're giving him? We give glory to God. Mm-hmm. They're giving what should be God's glory to this beast, to this man. Amen? Mm-hmm. So if you read Psalm 113:5, it says, who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He's above the heavens, he's above the earth. Who is like our God? So they're giving this beast the glory that belongs to our God. It's an imitation, again, references that should be God's and are made to God in the scriptures. In the scriptures, we constantly see who is like our God. Who is strong like our God? Who is enthroned on high like our God? Amen? I think Mark's reading in the beginning had some references to our God and enthroned. Amen? So who is like our God? Amen? So they're giving him his glory. Amen? But let me tell you something. Who's still in control?
Christ.
God is still in control, right? He sits on the throne. And the beast, the Antichrist, can only give him the power that is allowed by God. So for a time, God is allowing this. He cannot overpower God. He is a created being. You know that Satan is a created being. Mm-hmm. And you know that God is the creator. Mm-hmm. I share with you, and I always think about this. God created everything. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the heavens, the universe. So God sits above these creations. He sits above the universe. God is not up there in this heaven that we see. God is not in the space where all the spacecraft, you know, that we have going into space, the space satellites. No, God is above.
Amen.
God looks down on his creation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read about the potter and the potter's wheel I don't remember, Jeremiah or one of those books, the potter controls the wheel. He controls what can be made, what can be broken, what can exist. Amen?
Amen.
That's how our God is transcendent. It just amazes me, and it makes you worship when you understand the transcendency of our God, that he is above. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So here are the people saying, who can make war? Amen. Let me read to you one more scripture. Deuteronomy 20, verses 2 to 4. Here's what it reads. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen. Our God, he's the power that saves us. He's the power that will come against the dragon, the Antichrist, and the next beast that we will introduce shortly. Amen. Amen. And so in verse 5 it says, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. This is the Antichrist. And he was given authority to continue for 32 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Amen. That's 5 and 6. So he was, it says that he was given a mouth speaking great things. Pompous. You know what pompous means? In other scriptures, we'll find the word pompous. When a person is pompous, what are they? They're boastful. They're arrogant. They're self-puffed up.
Yes.
So this Antichrist is going to be a man that's going to be very pompous. It's all about him. He's going to be very prideful, very boastful. Amen? Very self-important. Amen? And then it says speaking blasphemies. What is a blasphemy? When you blaspheme, what does that mean? It's an offense, speaking sacrilegiously about God. So he is basically cursing and speaking things about God that are blasphemous, that are wrong. Amen?
They're wrong.
Amen? And it says that he is given authority, and we already said he was given authority by whom? By Satan.
Amen? By Satan.
But remember, what does it say here?
It was granted to him.
Yes, somebody said it. Say it.
It was granted to him.
42 months. Mm-hmm. 42 months. 3.5 years. But he is going to be doing all of this during the second half of the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years old. He's only granted time. God has limited his time to 42 months. 3.5 years. So he's not going to go on with this forever. He will be dealt with by the all-powerful God. God is in control. God is in control. God is always in control, and this Antichrist will have power for a limited time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, in Daniel 7, verse 11, it says, "And I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." That's what God is going to do to him. That's what God is going to do. I hope you're right with the scriptures, because I'm trying to go a little fast. Amen. Then verse 7, it says, "And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, every tongue, every nation." So what's your question? You should have a question. Authority granted, it was given to him, and we discussed it, granted to him to make war against the saints. We, the saints, are not going to be there.
That's right.
So how is he going to make war against us?
Mm-hmm.
It will be war against the saints that have come to the Lord
during the tribulation.
He will persecute them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I'm not going to go there. Anyway, what I wasn't going to is that some ministers of certain movements believe that this means that we're going to go through the tribulation. But this doesn't mean that, because in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're not called to wrath. And he explains to us that we are going to be taken away. Amen? We are going to be raptured. We are going to be in heaven. So what saints? These has to be the saints, those that come to the Lord during the tribulation. Again, emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Let those you love know. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like I said, many will accept Christ during the tribulation. Amen? They will be his personal target. Amen? He will kill them. He will oppress them. He will abuse them. Amen? However, he will be unable to destroy their faith.
Amen.
That's why many of them will be martyred. They
yes.
will be tribulation martyrs for Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it says, it was granted, an authority was given to him over every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So he will rule the world. Some people say, oh, some people have said, oh, America will be helping Israel, and America won't, he won't rule America. He will rule the world. That's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So then it says, in verse 8, it says, who has verse 8? If you have it, please read it. You would help me along if you would read for me. Verse 8.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. Wow.
Yes. Amen.
Wow.
So it says, those whose names are not written in the book of life. So you know there's a book called the book of life. Amen. And we're going to see it in other scriptures, the book of life. This is the book that records every person who was born again. Amen.
Yes.
Every person's name is recorded in the book of life. Amen. And it says, it's also mentioned in Revelation 3, verse 5. It speaks about once you're saved that you will be, your names will be written in the book of life. Amen. Revelation 12. I don't have the right scripture, but here's what it says. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. It's got to be at the end. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. There's more than one book. Amen. There's the book of life, and there's the book that's going to record your actions. Everybody's actions. So the dead, remember that once you have accepted Christ, you are no longer judged. Mm-hmm. You are no longer judged as salvation. You're saved. As far as salvation is, you're saved. Our judgment is the judgment of rewards of the things that we have done. And some will receive greater rewards than others. But you do not lose your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That there are various books. There's a book of life. There is another book that records everything everyone has done. Mm-hmm. And records what the saved have done.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be rewarded. And I taught about that a few years ago on the Bema seat of Christ. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. And it speaks about the rewards of the righteous. Amen? I hope that you get that.
Amen.
You understand that I joke around and I say, you may be okay by sweeping the temple, but I want to walk alongside of Christ. Amen. That's a measure of reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that jokingly, but it does... have veracity in it. Amen?
Amen.
So those are the books. Amen. And there are other scriptures. Philippians 4:3 speaks. It says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with them, so and so, and also the rest of the workers whose names are in the book of life. That's Philippians 4:3. The book of life is mentioned again in Revelation 20, verse 1, it says, and I know people don't want to hear this, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ooh, that's horrible. That is horrible. That's why we have to urge our loved ones to accept mm-hmm. Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And then Revelation, so then let's read verse 9. That's short enough. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. We see that a lot, right, in Revelation when he speaks to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Amen. It's an invitation that is extended to all of us. Amen. And it's addressed to Christians. Amen. That we can hear what God is saying to us, so that we're not in this tribulation time. Amen. That we accept this invitation to be saved again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not going to go too much into that, because I think it's rather obvious. Amen. We want everyone to be saved. The Spirit of God wants them to hear. Amen. So that no one has to go through that tribulation. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 10. And he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. The devil, amen? The devil, whom men will worship because through the Antichrist, he's going to lead multitudes of souls into hell. You know that. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, right? We just read that, right? Amen. But, and what does God say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. It's not going to stay like that. It's not going to stay like that. He will be punished, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet that we're going to get to, the other beast. They will be cast into the lake of fire. Their time is limited. God will take vengeance against them and destroy them forever.
Amen.
So that's a little introduction into the Antichrist. Amen. He's going to be a worldwide known figure. He is going to bring the peace between Israel and the Arab nations and the whole world, the peace that no president has been able to achieve. Mm-hmm. And you see that today, right? You see what's going on in the Middle East. You see what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. Amen. You see what's going on with Korea, North and South Korea. You see what's going on in China, wanting to take over Taiwan. China took over Singapore already. You see this. This is not when the Antichrist comes. He is going to broker worldwide peace. That's who he is. For that reason, people will worship him. People will adore him. Amen. He will bring peace for 3.5 years. And then in the middle of that 7-year period, all hell is going to break loose with the Antichrist. That's just a synopsis on that 7-year period. Let me introduce you to the second beast. Amen. The second beast. Verse 11. Somebody read verse 11. Please. Quickly.
Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Keep going?
Yes, read verse 12 also.
And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
Amen, amen. So, again, two different representatives of Satan, right? Mm-hmm. One came out of the sea, now this one is coming out of the earth, amen? So, he has two horns like a dragon, but he has, two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Mm-hmm. Amen. So what does that tell you? It tells you that he is a deceiver. He is going to, a lamb. What is a lamb? A lamb is docile, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a docile creature. You don't feel threatened by a lamb. So that's where the deception comes in that appearance, amen? But his message is the same message coming from Satan, amen? He is going to force people to look up to
the beast,
the Antichrist, amen? He's going to cause people to look at the Antichrist. He's going to cause people to worship, amen? Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying worship this person, not me, then I'm subordinate, right? I'm subordinate. So he's subordinate to the Antichrist, amen? And he is going to have them worship the beast, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, read somebody read 13, and we're going to get a little further into that.
He performs
13,
great.
14. Somebody read from 13 through 15 to verses 15.
He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
Amen.
Well,
again, remember that everything he does, again, is in the presence of the beast. Right? So the beast is the one that gives him the power. And who indwells the beast? But Satan. Again, a vessel of Satan. Amen? And he commands worship. He commands the world to worship the beast. So what is he? He's the head. He's the head of religion, right? We know him as the false prophet. The false prophet, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet make up the unholy Trinity, which is totally against the Holy Trinity, God Father, God Son, and God Spirit. Amen. So he does miracles again, false miracles in the sight of God. Because God is the miracle worker. God is the one that performs true miracles. We see here counterfeit miracles to deceive the world by the power of Satan. Who do true miracles point to?
God.
They point to God. They point to the Lord. True miracles. Who do we see performing true miracles in the New Testament? Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember during the Exodus that God gave Moses the ability to decree things and they would happen? And Pharaoh had the false magicians come up and do the same. But they couldn't compete with what God was doing. Amen? Mm-hmm. No false miracle can compete with the true miracles of God.
Amen.
No one can perform miracles. No one can heal. Healing comes by the power of God. Healing is there's healing, but it comes through God. It doesn't come through a person. It comes through God. It comes through submission. People will pray and pray for your healing, but God is the healer.
Amen.
God is the miracle worker.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God is the one that performs the actual miracle. You
Hallelujah.
Go to a doctor, he performs the surgery, but God heals it. God heals
Amen.
It.
Amen.
God is the healing doctor.
That's right.
That's why every time you go to the doctor, you got to say, Lord, guide the doctor. Guide his hands, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for my healing, Lord, because you're healing me. They're performing the surgery, but
Amen.
You are the one that's healing me.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why did I say that? So here it is. The image speaks. He gives the power. Satan gives the beast the power to give breath to the image so that it can speak. What what is this image, amen, that it can speak? Could it be a statue that is made? Could it be
robot.
A digital image that the world sees?
Robot?
A digital image? What do they call those?
AI. Artificial intelligence.
No, the illusion that you see.
3D imaging.
No, like they can make
hologram. Hologram.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Hologram. Is it a hologram, you know?
Okay.
In this digital world, because the whole world will see and worship the beast. Technology. That speaks to me of technology.
Definitely.
Yep. My opinion. Amen. Amen.
Mm.
And then it says that all that would not worship the beast were killed. Amen. Let me get a little ahead of myself. This image, this beast, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, will have an image made of this Antichrist. He will then have it placed in the temple of God. The Jewish people will have already rebuilt their third temple. You know that if you study about Israel, they have, the Word of God tells them that they will build a third temple. In Ezekiel, it speaks of the third temple in the Old Testament, because that's what they read. Today, in Israel, they have every piece of item necessary for the new temple. The only thing they don't have is the building. It's not built yet. Amen? But during the tribulation, the third temple will have already been built. And this beast, this Antichrist, is going to somehow present himself or the image of himself in the temple and want to be worshipped as God. Remember, it's Satan indwelling this Antichrist who wants the worship. Do you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days that the devil appeared to him and he gave him three temptations,
mm-hmm.
which Jesus did not succumb to? And the third one was the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world, which he ruled under at the present time. He rules over in the present time. And he said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms. The devil always wants worship. So the devil wants worship, and he plans to get this worship through this figure, the Antichrist.
Mm.
That's what that's about. And it says that those who did not worship him would be killed. Amen?
Mm.
And again, if you go into Matthew 24:15, it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. That's in the New Testament. That is what this is called. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist standing in the holy place, in the temple. Amen. Wanting to be worshipped. Daniel chapter 11:31, it says, and forces shall be mustered by him, that's the Antichrist, and they shall defile the sanctuary. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. When the Jewish temple is rebuilt, the people of Israel during the tribulation will, during the first half, will be worshiping in their temple according to the Old Testament rituals and everything. They will be sacrificing animals. They will, you know, they will be doing everything. But in the midpoint, that's why we have that 3.5 year marker, the Antichrist will not allow them to worship anymore, will cast them out of the temple and place himself as God. That's what's called the abomination of desolation. And again, I'm trying to go a little faster here. Amen. So this is what the false prophet is going to do. Amen. Amen. I spoke to you about false prophets. I spoke to you about not believing them.
Amen.
This is why not only the Christians during that time will be persecuted, but also the Jews will be persecuted. He will cast them out of the temple, and they will have to flee. Why will they have to flee? Because what does God say to the Jewish people in Deuteronomy? He says, you shall not worship any other gods. I alone am God. And the Jewish people will refuse to worship the Antichrist, and he will begin to persecute them, and they will have to flee from Jerusalem. That's what the word says. Okay? And then I'm going to go over to verse 16, which says, somebody read real quick verse 16.
He causes
poor and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads.
17.
And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Amen. So, during the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, well, anyway, we know that tribulation, 7 years, who's the government going to be under? Who's the worldwide government going to be under?
That's right.
The Antichrist, right? It's going to be under the Antichrist. Amen? And the government is going to be under the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the false prophet is going to cause everyone to receive a mark, right? A mark. It could be digital. It could be like the size of a grain of rice. Embedded the digital chips, amen. Yeah, a digital chip. It says in the forehead or in the hand, and it's already been proven that the chip can be very safely embedded in the right hand. So, being that we're in a technological age, they're not going to put a mark like they did with the Jews during the Holocaust, that they had to wear the yellow star on their garments. No, this is going to be, I firmly believe, this is going to be digital. Amen? And with that, if you don't receive that mark, because you refuse to worship the beast, you are going to be killed during the tribulation. And again, these that don't receive the mark are going to be the new born-again Christians that refuse. And they will be martyred. They will be killed. But the Word of God says, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body.
Right?
Be afraid of the one who kills the soul.
That's right.
So they're going to live again, just like we're all going to live again. Amen?
It's already in play.
He's going to cause them to receive that mark. And what does it say? That no one may be able to buy or sell.
Right.
Amen? So again, this is electronic. You know that right down, right now, if the government wants to shut down your bank account, the government
can
do that. Amen? And I'm sure Naomi would know about that. Amen? They can do that. If you don't want somebody to access your credit card, you can call the company and have your credit card shut down. Everything is electronic. If there's a glitch in your system, your money can disappear. You better have some kind of statement proving that you had this amount of money. At least keep the latest statement from your bank with you all the time. But it's going to be digital. And they're going to receive a mark. Amen? So that you cannot participate in the economy. And this is the frightening part. Mothers with children. Mothers, parents that have to feed their children. My Lord. Will they receive the mark of the beast in order to feed their children? We have to pray. We have to cry unto God. We have to cry out for mothers and children. And I hate to say this. Sometimes I think it's best not to have children. I mean, it's sad to think that way. But I think of the young mothers, and we have to tell them, you have to come to the Lord. You have to tell your children and teach them the ways of God.
Amen.
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 Do you understand the fear, the sadness, you know, for young mothers, mothers with children? You have to tell them. You have to talk to your daughters, your sons that have children, that their children will come to the Lord, that they will come to the Lord, that they will not enter into this deceptive system. It might not be your children. It might be your grandchildren. You know, it might not come to that. We don't know. Only God the Father knows the time. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that is said is about the number of the beast. In verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. That's why people don't like that number, 666. Amen? In the book of Revelation, amen, this part about 666 is one part of the book of Revelation that has been discussed by people more than any other part. Who is 666? Amen? I don't know. We don't know. God has not revealed that to us. Some people thought, oh, it's Caesar. Oh, it's Nero from the Roman Empire. Oh, it's Hitler. Oh, it's the Pope. Oh, it's this. And yet, no one has been able to decipher that. Why? Because we are not given the knowledge of who the Antichrist is, and until that time comes about. Amen? And we will be gone. Amen?
I will be.
I will be too. You're blessed. I tried to go through this as fast as possible. I hate to leave a chapter in midstream, because then we forget everything we discussed. This chapter introduced you to the Antichrist and the false prophet. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And Satan, who will be in that time, giving them their power. I hope you're blessed. I hope you receive. If you need any more verses, you can contact me. I did not give you all the verses. I turn this over to Pastor Bernice. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.